Chapter 2. It seemed as if I wasn't the only one letting their carnal desires run amok, because before I knew it, Nova's strong but delicate hands were tearing the front of my shirt down the middle until it resembled a long vest more than a functional tunic. It was much too sexy to worry about the waste of perfectly good fabric, but I did help her with the laces on the front of my trousers. At least somewhere deep in my Neanderthal brain, I recognized the need for pants later. "Fuck," I hissed when the siren woman's slightly cool fingers wrapped around my straining erection once the fastenings on the front of my trousers had been loosened enough. She cooed as she brought my rigid dick out into the cool air. The dual sensations of the cool temperature combined with the heat of my arousal caused something urgent in my lower belly to coil up tight, and I had to hang on for my life when Nova's hot and slick mouth plunged down over my shaft. "Mercedes!" I cursed and struggled not to accidentally choke her. It didn't really matter that I froze because Nova continued to swallow my cock with wild abandon until the spongy tip of my head was encased in her silken throat. Her claret wine gaze penetrated into mine as we stared at each other, and I felt my eyes threaten to roll to the back of my skull when she inched down and then slowly drew back with the perfect amount of suction. After that, it was a matter of sweet torture as she honed her perfect technique and built up a rhythm that kept me right on the edge. She even added her hand to cover the part of my shaft she couldn't engulf with her mouth alone, and she gently squeezed and stroked it in time with her lips. Nova hummed when the head of my cock was snugly in her throat, and the intense vibrations zinged through my pelvis and ripped the breath out of my lungs. I choked out as my climax hit me like a stampede. I gripped the siren woman's head as I flew out of orbit, and my hips shuddered when she bobbed her head like she wanted me to fuck her mouth. This caused more of my cum to jet out of the sensitive tip until a trail of my pearly essence leaked from the corners of her mouth. When she pulled off me in order to swallow, I collapsed against the edge of the table with my heart galloping in my chest.
"Alex,"
she sighed, and she flowed up my body as she nibbled and sucked little marks up my treasure trail, along my clavicles and under my chin.
"Goddess almighty, honey."
I nuzzled behind one of her ears where that syrupy scent was the strongest.
"Happy?"
Nova asked as she continued to purr deep in her chest.
"Very,"
I said, and sank my own teeth into the soft flesh right under the corner of her jaw. She mewled such a lovely little mew and rubbed her eager body against mine, and I was surprised when my still rigid cock gave a strong twitch.
"Let me return the favor."
I laced her fingers with mine and led her over to the first horizontal place that was at least semi-comfortable and not coated in dust and broken knick-knacks. The rug in front of the hearth in the rickety house was threadbare, but it was still soft and had enough padding for what I wanted to use it for. And it would have to do for now. And I firmly pushed the voracious siren woman down on the floor so I could spread my body over hers and get to work. Even though she'd just given me probably the best blowjob I'd ever had, there was something keeping me hard and raring to go, almost as if I'd eaten a bowl of Arvid's special marriage porridge. Nova warbled high and sweet in the back of her honeyed throat as I leaned over her and massaged one of her soft breasts with my hand. Her body felt like the most expensive satin, and as she writhed against the colorful rug, more of that delicious aroma wafted off her in waves and kept the blood roaring in my ears.
"Pheromones?"
I mumbled thickly through the haze of my arousal. Nova moaned as she thrashed her head from side to side. Then, with her unusual strength, she grabbed the hand I was using to balance on and forcefully brought it up to her other breast.
"Okay, hold on," I said with a grin.
And I adjusted my position over her so my legs were taking the brunt of my weight. This left both of my hands free to explore under her flimsy top. She gasped when the stitches of the poor threadbare thing finally gave up the ghost and ripped.
"Sorry," I said,
in a voice rough with lust. But the way I rubbed my aching cock against her toned stomach said otherwise. Now that the interfering fabric had fallen away, I was able to fill my hands with her round breasts like I'd wanted to every time I caught a glimpse of that flimsy fabric straining against those heavy globes. I moved my thumbs back and forth like windshield wipers over her stiff nipples. And then I began to alternate in random patterns that had her squealing and arching her back so prettily.
Good,
she gasped when my mouth found one of those tight peaks. Her chin trembled endearingly, and she released a small wail when I tweaked the nipple in my hand and at the same time gently bit down on the one in my mouth. This kept me occupied for quite a while, and I made sure each of those jade-tinted breasts received equal amounts of attention. When I had lavished her upper half enough for my liking, I trailed down to the skimpy loincloth covering her most modest place, and I tugged at it until it too tore away. Poor thing really needed some better clothing options, but for now, having her completely bared to me was the only thing on my mind. Nova whined, clearly unconcerned about her garments as well, and pushed her hips up. I took the hint and surprised her by curling both hands around her thighs and pulling her toward me so she was at the perfect angle for me to lick a long stripe up her wet slit. She mewled again, all high and tight, like the arousal was causing her to go crazy. I could relate because my shaft remained hard as steel and throbbed urgently in time with my pulse. It was incredible, and the musky, sweet smell of this gorgeous woman was the only thing that could distract me from my own desire long enough. Which was good, because I really needed to focus. I continued to lick and tease my tongue in between her lips until she was actively attempting to grind her pelvis into my face to get the stimulation she desired from my flickering tongue. I finally took pity on her and spread her pussy lips apart so I could properly address the situation. The exotic siren woman practically howled when I stiffened my tongue and swirled quick little circles around her shy clit. If I remembered from last time, her little love bud needed some coaxing and extra tender care, and only when her natural juices began to drip over my chin did I begin to add my fingers to the mix. She gasped, and her channel clenched around my digits so strongly I couldn't move them at first. But I provided more loving attention for her pleasure center, and then I felt her relax around my fingers enough for me to start stroking her from the inside. It didn't take long for her to seize up again as her first orgasm crested and hit her like an ocean wave.
Beautiful, I breathed.
And when she surged up and pushed me back on the ground, I let her do as she pleased, which was basically attacking me like a feral animal. Her kisses turned frantic and biting, and as she gyrated in my lap, she kept one hand around the hard rod of my dick, and her skilled fingers kept my pre-cum flowing until everything was hot and perfectly slick. When she was satisfied, she stood up on her knees briefly so she could position the head of my cock at her twitching entrance, and then we both held our breaths as she sank down all the way to the hilt in one motion. Nova hissed as she adjusted to my girth, and I gripped her hips like a vice so I could get myself under control. Her pussy rhythmically milked my cock in gentle contractions at first, and it was such an intense feeling with her sitting absolutely still and yet working me with her inner muscles. I felt every minute squeeze and flutter, and for a second, I was almost afraid it would be over the moment I started to move. Nova was the one who took the decision out of my hands when she slowly raised herself up slightly and then slid back down. Her breasts heaved, and her eyes dilated to deep black pools as she did it again and again.
Ah, God,
I breathed through my lust. And I held on to my climax with tooth and nail when she picked up a rocking, grinding pace that had the edges of my vision going white. She cried on every hard thrust, and I swear I dug some pretty deep bruises into the soft flesh of her hips with my fingertips. This wasn't going to last long, but I wanted to see her come apart one more time before I let myself tumble over the edge of my own orgasm. So, with what few functioning brain cells I had left, I actually managed to maneuver one of my hands down and massaged her fully engorged clit with my thumb. She screamed and slammed down against my pelvis for the last time as every fiber of her being shook and trembled.
Fuck!
I shouted when the hot gush of her fluids painted my thighs. And with the last of my strength, I flipped us one more time so I could plow my cock in and out of her as the tension of my impending climax finally snapped. We rolled and undulated against each other as our shared orgasms never seemed to end. And I wasn't sure if it was the dizzying pheromones she was still releasing, but I'd never been fucked like that before or stayed hard for so long, and currently it was very difficult to even string two coherent thoughts together. At some point, we disengaged and ended up cuddling together with me on my back, and Nova snuggled up under my arm and dozing on my chest. Her breathing was already slowing to something close to sleep, and I kept up the soothing strokes to her tousled hair. I had felt this way before, 3 times already, and every time it bowled me over just the same. With Zoe, it was the way she truly became my family. With Shay, it was how she yearned for me. And with Amaya, it was how she made me feel truly seen. And now I was back here again, and I knew what the familiar patter of my heart meant by now. Love. This shy and beautiful woman was now inextricably precious to me, and I knew we were bound somehow by more than just coincidence. My other 3 loves had taught me fate sometimes has bigger plans for us, and by now my time in Aventol taught me to not fight against the feeling. And as my eyelids grew heavy with the oxytocin and dopamine still flooding throughout my system, I buried one last kiss into the crown of that inky blue head and let myself float along on cloud 9. I didn't know how much time had passed or that I actually ended up falling asleep. But when I eventually came back to the real world, the late sun was casting long shadows along the rug I was still laying on. And when I looked around, I also noticed I was alone. And I also found I was unpleasantly crusted in dried stuff. So I decided that as much as I felt like I could snuggle up and go back to sleep like a cat in a sunbeam, the discomfort of the remainder of our lovemaking outweighed my desire to sleep. I dragged myself to my feet, and I tried to spark some of my higher reasoning back into action as I glanced around for clues as to where Nova might have gone. What remained of her sad excuse for proper clothing was definitely obliterated to scraps now. And as proud as that made me, it also reminded me the poor thing was horribly neglected to have been wearing those garments down to their last threads anyway. Well, I would make up for it now. And I started a more thorough investigation of what the siren woman called the rickety house. As I poked around, the first thing I noticed was the layers of dirt and dust covering pretty much everything in a fine blanket. Bookshelves lined every inch of the walls, but they were mostly bare and collecting odd cobwebs made from spiders that apparently had silk the color and texture of green moss, and it made it look like the outdoors was beginning to grow inside. Whatever books were left on the shelves looked moldy, and like they would disintegrate if they were disturbed from their resting places. Any furniture that wasn't broken and looked like it could actually support any weight was covered in more dust and mossy webbing, and one armchair had even started to sprout blue, bell-like mushrooms on the backrest. When I raised my nose and took a sniff, a damp mustiness irritated my nostrils and suddenly made me cough with how closed in and stagnant the air was. It was unhealthy, and I didn't even bother to look for things like where the food was kept or what the hygienic facilities were like. Rickety House as a whole was decidedly unpleasant, and it didn't take a detective to guess the free-spirited siren woman probably spent as little time as possible in this place. So I headed outside. The first thing I saw was a piece of plain paper that looked like papyrus stuck to the crooked door with a long stake-like thorn. It didn't actually say any words, but the familiar slash mark of 3 large claws told me all I needed to know. "Sorry, Oz," I muttered under my breath as I folded up the sloth man's note. When I wondered about when he must have left this note, I was glad no one was around to see my cheeks flush at the thought of him hearing our enthusiastic activities. Mercedes, I hoped this message just meant he was eventually going to return and I hadn't scared him off. The idea was actually kind of hilarious the longer I thought about it, so my blush faded, and I ended up waltzing down to the lake shore with a big grin on my face and a spring in my steps. Nova was there swimming idly on her back and staring up at the sky with a serene look on her fine boned face. She hadn't noticed me yet, and I decided to strip my pants off so I could join her in the crystalline water. The second I splashed into the lake, Nova startled upward with a small shriek, and then glared at me until I stopped in my tracks. Sorry, I began. But the siren woman wasn't interested in hearing what I had to say, because she splashed away down into the depths. The only reason why I didn't follow her was because the sight of her scaled black and green mermaid tail stunned me with its appearance. She really was a beauty, and could also probably stay underwater way longer than I could stand on this shore. So if I wanted to lure the fickle woman back, I would have to be creative. For now, I took advantage of the clean water to wash off some of the flaky and dried emissions still on my skin. And I dunked my head under the water to scrub away some of the sweat from the last few days. It felt glorious to at least get a modicum of clean, even without soap, especially since my hair seemed to be getting longer, and it had been a while since I last had a proper shave. I was generally feeling unkempt these days, and it would be a relief to be around proper hygienic implements again. After I got as clean as I possibly could, I set my mind onto something I could do to lure Nova back to the surface. Food was the obvious choice if the sudden sharp cramp in my own gut was evidence. It was hard for me to remember the last time I ate anything substantial, aside from Osred's questionable attempt at stew that was a far cry from Arvid's. And I'd already surmised Rickety House had zero to offer, so I decided the next best thing was fishing, especially because this lake was definitely populated with more than just persnickety mermaid types. So with a design already forming in my head, I got out of the water and began hunting for a discarded branch along the shore that was straight and sturdy enough for me to fashion into a harpoon of sorts. I could, of course, do the traditional fishing line technique, but the whole process of finding suitable line and bait would take too long given the fact it was already late in the day. Also, from what I could tell, the water was clear enough for me to see below the surface, and the fish I saw were docile and unused to my presence, so they were more curious about me than afraid of me. When I found the branch I wanted, I went about trying to find one of those peculiar rocks that broke apart into dagger-like shards, so I could whittle the three sharp points at the end of my fishing spear. The whole process took about 30 minutes tops, and when I finally fashioned the spear to where the balance felt right, I practiced a few times by drawing an X in the muddy bank and then trying to hit it. Surprisingly, all that work Zoe made me do with the quarterstaff went a long way, and I found I was accurate a good 3 out of every 5 throws. After I was satisfied with my technique, I wandered along the shore east of the Rickety House where some rock formations caught my eye, and when I rounded the largest of the boulders, I was pleased to find 3 rock pools teeming with life. It was easy pickings, almost like shooting fish in a barrel, and within the first 10 minutes, I'd speared 7 medium-sized fish that reminded me of trout. I lashed them all together with some sinewy red weeds that worked perfectly as rope, and then I carried my haul up to one of the smooth, flat boulders. This was the perfect place to build up a fire, and considering I was still super naked, some warmth would be welcome once the sun finally went down. There was also more of that weird moss webbing, but I still couldn't actually decide if it belonged to a spider-like creature or not. It was dry and fluffy from being baked in the sun, unlike the moss growing inside the rickety house. That moss still had a moist sheen on it, which made it look oily. I made an effort with my trusty spear to check for any creatures the moss web might belong to. But when I didn't see any signs of burrows or suspicious holes, I figured the weird web stuff was truly a plant and not a byproduct of something multi-legged and creepy. Actually, when I bent down to pick up some of the fluffy stuff, I was surprised to find it was really soft like heather, but could also be stretched and molded somewhat to resemble cloth. And I suddenly realized where Nova got the materials for her wardrobe. It was an interesting textile for sure, and with a good amount of the stuff, I was able to fashion a really fluffy nest-like thing after I got the fish gutted and roasting on a simple fire. Something about this little alcove reminded me of the love nest Shay made for me right off Ithaca's property. And even though I had nowhere near the flair of creativity to pull off the Sandals Resort Cabana BS she'd managed, anything was better than spending the night in the shithole known as Rickety House. It would just have to do. When I was satisfied with the attempt at a cozy little camp, the fish weren't quite ready yet, so I scrounged around for more of the web material similar to the dark brown cloth Nova's ensemble consisted of. I was able to find some sprouting between some of the rocks, and I noticed some of it became slightly tacky after I molded the clump into a thin sheet. Because of this, it allowed me to sculpt a pair of skin-tight short-like things around my legs. The final product felt a little like wearing a wetsuit on my lower half. And even though it was slightly uncomfortable and form-fitting, at least it would protect my important bits from the elements. The smell of roasted fish tickled my nostrils and distracted me from my moss pants. Food. Mercedes' great gorgeousness, I was ravenous after working up such an appetite. And the first fish I pulled off the improvised harpoon was devoured in under 5 minutes. The neat thing about these fish, the bones were actually something that became soft when cooked and didn't pose a problem for me to tear through them, so I was able to eat every scrap of the juicy fish without fear of choking. I didn't know if it was because I was just so hungry or the fact that I'd managed to catch and cook these babies myself, but I was halfway through my third before I came up for air. When I did, I noticed I had an audience. In a gap between two of the tallest spire-like boulders where the lake poured in was a curious jade-scaled face peering at me through red eyes as bright as rubies. I slowed my chewing a little, but I didn't give away that I was outright watching her for fear of scaring the temperamental beauty away. This seemed to be the correct tactic, because she kept her eyes riveted on me as she cautiously skulked out of the water. I observed that her singular mermaid tail had disappeared back into two appendages appropriate for land, and I wondered if the transformation was voluntary. It seemed to be, based on the fact she was still dripping wet as she walked steadily toward the fire, so the splash theory where Daryl Hannah had to completely dry off before she transformed was a bust. I rotated the harpoon so the remaining four fish I had left could cook on the other side, and when Nova didn't seem spooked at the motion, I figured she was more curious about the food than irked by my presence. "Would you like the rest?" I finally questioned, and held out the remaining half of my current fish. Nova made an abortive gesture like she couldn't help but reach for the food, and as I observed her still naked form, I noticed not just her beauty, but the neglect she faced in the evidence of her two visible ribs. I didn't ask again, but held my hand out as if it didn't matter if she took it or not. She glared at me again, and at first I thought she might refuse based on spite, but then she snatched the fish from me and stuffed the whole thing defiantly in her mouth like I would take it from her even then. I watched with raised eyebrows as she munched angrily for a few seconds, and then I had to contain my amusement when the taste seemed to catch up with her, and she moaned in ecstasy.
Mmm.
The siren woman licked at the salty juices running from the corner of her full mouth with her bright pink tongue. And if I wasn't so utterly spent, I would have been up for another round of nookie at the sight. Instead, I focused on satisfying Nova's other appetites, and I found the sight of her eating pleasurable in the sense that I was the one who had provided for her. "Would you like more?" I asked, when she finished licking off her fingers.
Mm-hmm.
She nodded, and she finally thawed back to her cuddly self as she tucked herself up under one of my arms.
"Please, Alex."
"You got it, honey," I said, as I pulled another fish off the harpoon and handed it over to her. Instead of taking it with her fingers, she leaned forward so she could bite off a piece. I smiled a puzzled smile at her odd behavior, but she seemed really content like this. So I continued to stoke the flames and feed her bits of fish until everything was gone, and that precious purring started up again in her chest. The sun was well beyond the horizon at this point, so the orange glow of the campfire caused the rest of the world to retreat, and the boulders encircling the small plateau blocked the wind pretty perfectly. I knew the moss nest along with our shared body heat would be more than adequate for the night, which was good because Nova's head on my shoulder started to do that telltale bob of the sated and sleepy. She was still naked and just beginning to shiver. So I stood, scooped her up, and held her pliant form close to my chest. The siren woman roused when I set her down on the mossy pad and glanced around at her surroundings.
Nest?
She questioned, and I grinned at her. Yeah, I said. Better than Rickety House?
Much,
she said as she softly fluffed the web moss with her fingers. Then, with a large yawn, she tugged me toward her and curled around me. The low vibration of her purrs started up again, and with the hand not tucked in between our bodies, she pulled some of the moss up a little so our nest resembled more of a cocoon. This was like a little reprieve where everything felt far away, and my only pressing responsibility was whatever basic urges crossed my mind. But none of them were more complicated than food, clothes, and a safe place to sleep. The simplicity of everything lulled my fractured thoughts and helped soothe some of the jaggedness left behind from the recent events. A lot had happened within a short amount of time, from when Rylan stepped off the airship, healing up in the Okoba forest, being chased by giant tree spiders, and then finally dueling Krev fucking Alda. Dark hell. I really hope there were no more fucking Aldas waiting in the wings to just pop out of the woodwork after faking their deaths and wearing someone's form as a bodysuit. I was also slightly ashamed that I wanted to know just how he ended up consuming someone's essence, like the madman claimed. Then again, I was pretty sure if I found out those no-doubt gruesome details, I would have nightmares for a solid fickle. The woman in my arms suddenly huffed and looked up at me. What? I asked, and instead of responding, she rolled her eyes and dug her pointy chin into my left peck. Ow!
Stop it,
she said sternly with one of her already trademarked adorable pouts. Stop what? I asked, and tried to keep my twitching lips from smiling.
Thinking,
she said.
Sleep.
Yes, okay, I murmured, and nestled down deeper into our nest. Nova was right. Now was the time for rest, but my body felt heavy. If I had to describe it in the most accurate way possible, I would say if falling asleep was like floating gently on the waves, then this was like having concrete feet in that same fathomless ocean. It was a sensation I was grimly becoming accustomed to as my new normal when it came to the patch job Moz did for my injured mindscape. Because it used to take some sort of effort or at the very least turmoil to get into the dark realm. But now sometimes it was as easy as falling asleep. Oh, fuck, I said, as I sat up in that eerie circular clearing under a flat white sky. But I froze when a dark figure appeared hovering over a black lake.